Sure, and just hacking and hollering and running around and preaching like a wild man.
Sure.
I believe it was back around Easter, I believe it was, Brother Kevin. I was preaching for a man up in Cherokee, North Carolina, and there was a bunch of Indians up there. He was talking about that similar thing, that instance, and he was talking about a preacher up there, and he said something that I won't ever forget. He was talking about how he preached, but he said that there was a lot of wind and no rain. And I thought, what in the world is he talking about? And a couple of days went by, and I got to thinking about that. And that's the truth. I mean, sure. I believe that. There's a lot of times when maybe he might be wide open gun, and the Lord has really shown me that just here recently, Brother Kevin. It seems like I say that a lot, but I need the Lord to help me, Brother Bobby, more than I've ever needed him before. And I appreciate everything that's been happening around here. Appreciate Wednesday night, it's funny Brother Kevin mentioned that. I paid attention to the same thing. Brother Andrew, he'd sit in the very back. We'd come up here for prayer requests, and I noticed he's standing right around there where Brother Nathaniel's sitting right now. Man, that might not do nothing for nobody else. But I'll tell you, that just goes to tell us all and goes to show that there's one more soul that will never feed the flames of the devil's hell. And I'm thankful this morning that I know. Just like Brother Kevin said, I may not know. I believe they was talking about Brother Andrew, talking about how he was talking about how he was real happy, Brother Josh, how he was just so happy, didn't know why. That's what the Lord will do for you. He'll change you. He'll put something inside of you. As Miss Kayla Ward will sing, I don't know how he did it, but I can tell you how he feels. That there's stuff that comes out that you can't hide, Brother Donnie. There's things that just come out as they begin to sing that song about, I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time that you've heard me pray. I've heard that song all my life. I'm 19 years old, Brother Dustin. I've heard that song all my life. Every time, I mean, after I got saved, there was a different thing. I mean, it was different to me. But I can remember, I mean, after I got saved, whenever I'd go through, I went through a few storms. The more storms I'd go through, that song just became a whole lot sweeter to me. If I had 1,000 lives to live, I'd give them all to the Lord. Say, why, preacher? Because he's been so good to me. What a blessing. Then we finish it off by singing about grace. I'm telling you this morning, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the Lord's here. Amen. And he wants to do something. The service, I mean, it's been a little bit different. I believe the Lord's wanting to save somebody this morning. I believe that, not because I said it, but I believe the Lord wants to save somebody. The Bible says he's not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If you ask him, it's not hard. It's as easy as a child can understand it. It's so simple. All you got to do is ask him. Believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. I'm so thankful this morning for what I feel in my heart. I ask that you do, please pray for me. 1 John chapter number 5, where we're going to try to read from this morning. 1 John chapter number 5, when you found your place, I ask that you do stand. As we give reverence to the reading of the Word of God, 1 John chapter number 5. The Bible says, starting in verse number 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life. That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I want to read verse 13 one more time, if that'd be all right. The Bible says, these things, I want you to pay attention, these things have I written unto you, that's the Lord, unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us today. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, God, that you've bestowed upon us. Thank you for the good songs that we've already heard, the good spirit that we've felt. Lord, there's times when we may not necessarily know what to say, but we're asking you, Lord, that you would help us this morning. I pray that I wouldn't preach out of habit. God, I pray that you would take over my feeble body and bless my tip to try to preach your word. I love you, and I thank you, God, for all that you have done. all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. I pray that if there's one here, Lord, it surely in a crowd this size, there's somebody that may not know you in the free pardon of sin. And Lord, I'm asking you and I'm begging you with all my heart that you would draw them to that place of repentance where they could get born again. And Lord, they would see their need for a Savior. They would quit playing games. God, they'd quit putting it off, quit spurning the invitation, and they would get saved, gloriously born again before it's too late. We thank you for all that you're going to do this morning, and we thank you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. I'd been studying for a while on a specific thing, and I thought the Lord was going to allow me to preach it this morning. But I was coming to church this morning, and the Lord just really burdened my heart about things. And I come in, and I sat through the service, and I sat over there and just cried about the whole time, because I'm just amazed at how the Lord just kind of just line things out. He don't do things by coincidence. He don't do things just because he does things. Everything that happens, I believe, is in God's order. And I believe that the Lord does things for His benefit and His glory. But that Lord laid these passages, these few verses of Scripture on my heart that we've read. And I'd like to preach out of verse 13. I want to read it one more time just in case you didn't get it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, I believe with all my heart, according to these Scriptures, I've read, and these. Whenever I was lost and I was under conviction, these verses of Scripture was probably the last verse of Scripture that I read before I got saved, Brother Bobby. But we come to this verse 13, and I believe that there are some ways that you can know. I don't believe that you have to wait. Some religions may think that you got to wait to get to heaven, and when the Lord judges us that we would find out then. But I believe according to the Bible, according to the Scripture, as Brother Kevin was teaching this morning in Sunday school, we do not have to go by other man's opinion, other man's words that he says, but we can take the Bible and we can take the truth and we can go by it, what the Lord has to say. And he told us, he says, I have written these things. He's wrote us this Bible for a reason. Amen. He's wrote the Bible for a reason. And you say, why? Because he says that you may believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. And can I stop and say right there that there's not nothing better in this world than knowing that you have eternal life. I'm telling you, I don't mean to keep embarrassing him, but I would dare say that Brother Andrew probably slept a whole lot better that Wednesday night after he got born again. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because I did. Yeah. The night I got saved, January the 28th, as a 14-year-old boy, I mean, it felt like, and I've heard these testimonies all my life about how folks that would say that it felt like the weight of this church house had been lifted off of them. And you say, preacher, what is that? That was condemnation and guilt, friend. And I tell you, I'm glad when the Lord saves our soul, and He lifts all that off of us. And He saves our soul, Brother Donnie Neal. I'm so thankful this morning. I just want to stop and say I'm thankful. And I'm saved, gloriously saved, and born again. I'm telling you, I'm afraid, but I am afraid this morning, Brother Josh, that there's folks, and I texted Brother Kevin the other day about this, and I was talking, and I'd been thinking about this. I was reading about the crucifixion, and we understand how the Lord was, and I'm not going to go in for time's sake, but the Lord was hanging there between the heavens and the earth on the cross at Calvary, and we know how the soldiers was down, and they was casting lots for His garments. Brother Bobby and I begin to think about that, how they was, Brother Nathaniel and I text him, but how the soldiers was playing games at the foot of the cross. Right. Hey, I'm afraid this morning there's a lot of folks, and I'm not talking about out necessarily down the road, not in Washington, D.C., but I'm talking about that may have been attending, may be coming to Amazing Grace Baptist Church, maybe Sunday in, Sunday out, maybe a Sunday here, a Sunday there, Brother Nathaniel, that's playing games at the foot of the cross. They don't realize. They're so close. They're just a matter of so close of getting saved by the good grace of God. But they're playing games, Brother Bobby. And it scares me. It makes me so sad. It makes me tremble to think that folks come in and they just walk out and it's like they don't do nothing for them. You can see conviction written all over their face. You can see that the Lord's drawing them. And the Lord wants to save their soul. But they just turn it away. And they just turn it away and they walk out. And they just walk out, Brother. Brother Josh, I'm telling you, I remember whenever I was lost, the preacher, he would say something along those lines about how it's a dangerous thing to turn away the invitation of the Lord. Amen? It is dangerous. I've heard this preached, but the only problem is I can't find this in my Bible. I've heard folks say that, well, the Lord is obligated to deal with you one time or two times or three times. But I got to study my Bible, and I can't find that. It's by God's grace and by His mercy that He would deal with you one time. But I tell you what, I'm glad that the Bible says over in Jonah, the Bible says, starts off, I believe it may be chapter 2, I can't remember. But it says that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. I'm so thankful in my life. If I'd have turned him away, and I did on the first, the first a lot of times, Brother Kevin. But I'm glad that He came to me. The word of the Lord came to me the second time and the third time. But the thing about it is, the Lord ain't obligated to do that to you. And if you come in and you feel the drawing of the Holy Ghost, you ought to shout and you ought to lift up your hands and say, thank you, God, that the Lord Jesus Christ has not given up on you. Oh, God, I pray. I pray, Brother Nathaniel, that folks would see the seriousness of the conviction and the Lord drawing them to get saved. You say, preacher, how do you know that you can be saved? I believe, first of all, there's conviction that takes place. Amen. I looked up that word conviction last night, and that word means a declaration that someone is guilty of criminal offense decided by a judge. And you say, preacher, what in the world does that mean? Well, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ came and He died and done what He done at Calvary, He died and we was guilty. You and I was guilty of what? Of sin. The Bible says that because one man sinned, many were made sinners. That's what the Scripture says. And because, Brother Bobby, you say, well, I've not done much wrong. When you was born into sin. He was born into sin. You might have done, in your eyes, you might not have done many things wrong. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you die lost in that state, you will die a sinner. But I'll tell you, I'm glad that conviction, I've heard it, we've heard it preached so many times about how without conviction there is no conversion. And I believe that. I'm thankful whenever the Lord convicted my heart. I can remember it like it was yesterday. Whenever I was sitting in church as a young boy, and the Lord come down to where I was at. Maybe everybody else in church didn't know what was going on. Brother Josh, nobody else knew. But the Lord come down to where I was at and convicted my heart and showed me I was lost. Now, does anybody else remember that? Amen. Does anybody else remember the time when the Lord come down and showed you that you was lost and you prayed that prayer, as Brother Dustin said, and the Lord heard your prayer? And you got saved. Does anybody remember that? I'm glad the Lord does convict us. Now, I believe, as the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus. Now, you say, preacher, what do you mean? Wages is something that has to be paid. Right. Amen. We're all was guilty. We was all guilty, and we all owed because of our sin. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad. You can study the book of Galatians. Through and to paraphrase, it talks about the law and grace, right. and it goes into great details about them. Now the law was not pointless; it was not given. The Lord, whenever He done that, He gave the law. He knew just exactly what He was doing. He gave the law to show us how sinful we are. The law did not make sin; it did not produce sin, but it exposed sin. That's what it did. But whenever the Lord came and died, He did not necessarily do away with the law, but He fulfilled the law. Amen. He fulfilled the law. And He done it. Everything down to the jot and the crossed every T, dotted every I to the law, lived that whole life that He lived, perfect and sinless, so we could get our sin debt paid and full. My soul. You say, preacher, how do you know you're saved? Conviction, first of all. There is conviction. I believe second of all, after conviction takes place in our lives, after we get convicted and the Lord shows us what we are and we see that we're lost, I believe then there's a call unto salvation. Now, does anybody else besides me this morning remember the call? Amen. I remember that was a bad place, Brother Kevin. I mean, it didn't just happen all at one time. The Lord convicted me, showed me I was lost. And He'll do that for you. And I dare say that He's probably done that to you this morning. Showed you that you're lost. But if the Lord just done that and left you in that state of condition, wouldn't that be so sad? Wouldn't that be so sad if the Lord just left you that way? But not only does He do that, but right after that, the next step He does, He calls you. He draws you to that place. My goodness, the Bible said in John 6:44, no man can cometh unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. I mean, so that tells me that you can be convicted all you want to. You can be under conviction so bad. Somebody said, well, they're under conviction, they can get saved. I can't find that in my Bible. Unless the Lord draws them and woos them to that place of repentance, then they cannot get born again. I've heard this, Brother Bobby Coger. I've heard this preached about how folks had sat and turned away God's, when the Lord would deal with them. They turn them away, and they turn them away, and they turn them away. And finally, the Lord just quit drawing. You say, preacher, what happened? Did their conviction go away? Not necessarily. Not always is the conviction go away. You may be under conviction. You may turn God away so many times that the call goes away, but you still be under conviction. I've heard preachers talk about folks crying and begging and wailing that God would just draw them one more time. My goodness, what a sad place to be. And to think that we sit in here Sunday night, Wednesday night, come back, and we just sit there and we come in, Brother Kevin, sit on the back pew, cross our arms, and just look mad at the world and frown like a big old possum, Brother Dustin. And just, I mean, to think we would just do that every time we're in here and turn God away. And turn God away, the call, the best call that's ever been given. Now, the Lord showed it to me this way. Brother Bobby, Brother Kevin, I could pick up my phone, and as expensive as that thing is, I could pick up my phone and go down through my contacts and dial and hit Brother Kevin Sexton, and I could call him. But you know what, Brother Josh? It will not do no good unless he, whenever I call him, if he don't pick up his phone and hit accept and talk back, it don't do no good. I can call him 1,000 times. I can call him 1,000 times 1,000 over and over again. But until he answers the call, it won't do no good. I'm afraid that's the way it's been here lately in the church, Brother Bobby, and different churches that I've been in. How folks, I mean, you can see it written all over them. The Lord's drawing them. He's calling them. He's saying, I want to save you. But they're just, they're acting like Brother Dustin does me a lot of times, just ignore the call. I believe that's what they're doing. They just ignore the call. And I'm telling you, it's sad. I believe that conviction takes place. I believe that the Lord calls us. Then I believe there is a confession. Yes. Bible teaches us this in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse number 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I heard a preacher pray. Brother James York, for a matter of fact, was preaching. He was talking about a preacher up in Kentucky called him. He was telling me this story. Said that a preacher up in Kentucky called him and said that a man in his church or a woman, I can't remember, supposedly got saved. He said, now up here, it seems like it happens all the time where folks say they get saved but don't tell nobody for 10 years. He says, has that happened down there where you're at? He said, no, sir, I ain't never heard of that. He says, as a matter of fact, that's the craziest thing that I've ever heard in my life. Sure. Brother Kevin, that's what he told him. He said, preacher, why in the world did he tell him that? You cannot expect me to believe that somebody as big as God can move into your heart and it not do nothing for you. Right. Amen. I can remember whenever I was lost, I'd come into church, and for a while, the Lord was dealing with me about getting saved. I was under conviction real bad. And there was this woman in my church where I grew up in, that she would, I mean, if at the drop of a hat, if something happened, she'd just shout. We called her Red, like the Mayberry fire truck. We called her Red. But she'd just shout at anything, Brother Bobby. I mean, if Lord would save somebody, she'd shout and just have a spell. I mean, it thrilled her soul to see somebody get saved. I mean, if somebody got help, it just done something for her. But I remember telling Mom, I was a little boy, I said, Mom, I don't want to get saved. She said, why? I said, because I don't want Red to shout. It scares me. I can remember whenever I did get saved. I was real bad. You may not believe it right now. Whenever I was little, I was real bashful. And I didn't like talking to nobody. I didn't. We'd be somewheres and Dad always expected me. I was probably 5-6 years old. I was supposed to walk up to the stranger and tell him if he was talking to somebody and look at him in the eye and shake their hand and tell him my name, which ain't a bad thing, but it scared me to death. I was backwards. I was bashful. But I said all that to say this. When the Lord saved me and when he done what he did for me, it wasn't, Brother Nathaniel, whenever I come into church the next Sunday, I did not have to wait. I did not have to wait till my pastor said, Tyler, do you have anything on your heart? It just come out. Yeah. And I can remember telling him, it just come out. And I just begin to tell him what the Lord had done for me. I might not have raised my voice. I didn't quote no scripture, Brother Bobby. But I remember for the longest time, my testimony was, I'm so glad that the Lord saved my soul. And I'm so glad that I'm never going to have to go to an awful place called hell. That's remember for the longest time. That's all I said. Folks probably got tired of hearing it. Probably got tired of me saying that, but it didn't make no difference to me. I was just so thankful. So thankful that I was saved. And I'm telling you, you can say, preacher, I'm backwards. I promise you, when the Lord saves you, if you would accept the call, you'd get saved. I'll tell you, he'll do something for you that you ain't never experienced before in your life. He'll change your life. He'll make you, as the Bible says, a new creature. He'll do everything. It'll be brand new. Brother Bobby, I believe that there is a confession. And I believe there's a change after that. I believe that. Hell yeah. Somebody said, well, he got saved, but we didn't see him in 10 years. Well, I don't know about that. I'm not their judge. I know folks, they love that scripture, judge not that you may not be judged. But I tell you what, whenever I like seeing folks when they say that they got saved and you come back into the church and preach or come back to church 5, 6, 7 years down the road and you see them still right where you left them, just still right here. They may have, believe it or not, they may do something a little bit different, Brother Nathaniel. They may be singing in the choir. They may be teaching Sunday school. I'm not saying them things save you, but there will be fruits to your salvation. Amen. There'll be a change in your mind. The Lord will make a change in your life. Amen. I could go throughout all the Bible and preach about different things, about different people that the Lord changed. Whenever the Lord saved Bartimaeus in Mark chapter number 10, he made a change in him. He was blind. He said, I was blind, but now I see. That's just the way he'll do for you. We was blind. We can't see. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. We're blind, but whenever the Lord saves us, then we can see. I tell you, he'll make a change in your life. I remember whenever before I got saved, I didn't care nothing about going to church. I didn't care about nothing about going to the things of God. I didn't want to go to, I didn't even want to go to the Easter egg hunt. I didn't care nothing about going to the things of God. I didn't want to go to church. But it was just like, and you say, preacher, how does that happen? I can't explain it. But when the Lord does, when he saves you, he makes a change in your life. He'll change you. And it's just like a light switch, Brother Nathaniel. All at once, I wanted to go to church. I wanted to go to Sunday school. I want to do all these things. Why, preacher? Because the Lord will change you.
Yes, he will.
Lastly, I'll be done. I won't spend a lot of time on this. I believe that the people, and I ain't got nothing really against it. If it's scripture, I don't got nothing against it. But I believe that there is conviction. I believe there's a call, and I believe there's a confession that's made.
Yeah.
Then there's a change. Praise God for that.
Yes, sir.
Then lastly, I believe there's communication between you and the Lord.
Yes.
Brother Kevin's been preaching a lot here lately on prayer, and Brother Dustin got up and testified about a little bit about prayer. I'm telling you, it don't burden me to get down on my knees. I'm not talking about here at church either. I'm talking about it does not burden me. It does not, ruin my day to think, well, I've got to pray now.
Right.
I mean, it does something. It stirs my soul. I may be riding down the road, maybe right, maybe working, and just pray to God. I mean, it may not be coming out in an audible voice. It may be like Hannah. Maybe my mouth may be moving, but words may not be coming out. People may not understand that, but that's fine. But I'll tell you what, there's something. There's nothing like the communication between you and Almighty God. Ain't nothing like praying, amen. I mean, there's things that whenever you may go through things, I mean, there's nothing like being able to call upon God and tell Him all that's going on in your life.
Right.
I'll tell you what, this morning, I'm glad that the Lord's made us, give us, and it ain't from the book of Tyler either, but He's given us a Holy Bible, a King James Bible, and give us ways to know that we are saved. I'm going to say this, we're all going to stand. Let's all stand, and Brother Donnie, come get a verse for a song. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be done. I can promise you, whenever we're standing at the great white, whenever lost are standing at the great white throne judgment, we're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, I promise you there will not be nobody that says, well, I thought I was saved. The Lord lets you know. I'm glad He lets you know if you are saved. If you're saved, you know about it. You may hide it from me. You may hide it from Brother Kevin. You may hide it from everybody else. But you cannot, as Brother Kevin was saying in Sunday school, having the peace that whenever you lay down at night, and when you lay your head down on your pillow at night, Brother Bobby, the peace that comes, as the Bible says, I believe it's Philippians 4 and 6, or it talks about the peace that passes all understanding.
Right.
He'll do that for you this morning if you just let Him. But the key is, if you would just let Him.